I am the greatest. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, in honor of the passing of Rahman Ali, I am here today to review The Greatest, starring Muhammad Ali as Muhammad Ali. Thanks for dropping in for another edition of the show. If you're here for the very first time, allow me to explain what goes on here, because here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and stir up some wisdom one slice at a time. And since we're talking about boxing today, let's ring the bell and get right into it. So, I think we're on a month ago now. In July, we had a lot of celebrities passings, and the very first week of August, Rahman Ali passed away. Rahman Ali was the younger brother of famed world heavyweight boxer Muhammad Ali. Rahman was also a world heavyweight boxer, never got to any of the level of success that Muhammad Ali, his older brother, reached, but he was also a career boxer. After his passing, I spent a moment trying to see if I could find a movie that I could sit down and watch with him in it as a way to kind of continue this trend that I've been doing this year of when people in the fight industry pass away, tried to do some kind of tribute episode to them. And much to my pleasant surprise, there was at least one movie, and that is The Greatest, starring his brother Muhammad Ali, playing himself. And yes, Rahman also plays himself in this movie. So this is a biopic. It's a biographical film on the career of Muhammad Ali, from his Olympic gold medal win to defeating George Foreman for the World Heavyweight Championship. Yes, there is actually overlap between this movie, what happens in this movie, and another movie I reviewed earlier this year, Big George Foreman, which I covered for the passing of George Foreman, which happened back earlier. That was March, I believe. The episode came out a little bit later, but that was back in March. And so it covers, I think, if I remember right, that's like the 1960s through the 70s, like 75 or so, that the film covers. And the movie itself came out in 1977, if I remember everything correctly. This movie is based on Muhammad Ali's autobiography, The Greatest, My Own Story, which there's a very interesting fourth wall break, I guess, in the near the final third of this movie, where the guy who's helping Muhammad Ali write this book, Richard Durham, he's actually playing himself, following Muhammad Ali, getting information together for the book. So it's kind of this like weird inception moment of this movie is inspired by a book, and the movie actually shows when this book is going to start coming together. Don't think about it too hard. This movie was directed by, let me get the gentleman's name here. Movie was directed by Tom Grise. Now, sadly, this movie came out in May of 1977, and Tom actually passed away in January of 77, so he did miss the premiere, but the movie is dedicated to him in his honor. Tom Grise had a whole career mostly working within television, doing a lot of TV shows. If you check out his Wikipedia, it's a lot of TV shows, though there is one other film project that he did that many people are going to be familiar with. It was the movie that came out right before The Greatest, Helter Skelter, about the Manson family murders, inspired by the book of the same name. Yes, that is the guy who directed Helter Skelter, also directed this movie. The cast, alongside Muhammad Ali, is pretty stacked. There's some great actors in this movie. Ernest Borgnine plays Angelo Dundee. He was Ali's trainer and manager at throughout most of his career. We also have Robert Duvall is in this movie as Bill McDonald, one of the like agents in charge of his contract and booking fights and all of that. There was one, and then contributing to the already very impressive lineage of people who played Malcolm X, James Earl Jones plays Malcolm X in this movie. And honestly, with those three names, you know, it's already a really good cast surrounding Muhammad Ali. But to be honest and fair to Muhammad Ali, his acting in this movie is pretty good. He's just being himself. The moments where the acting is a little rough probably comes into play where there are... So whenever there's a match actually being shown in the film, it is just the archival footage of the actual matches, which is kind of cool. You get to see clips of a bunch of actual Muhammad Ali fights. But there are a few times where, you know, you'll see the clip of the match itself, but then it will cut to Ali walking to his corner at the end of the round, and there's Ernest Borgnine trying to like cool him off, and those are the moments where it's a little bit obvious that Ali's acting isn't great, because there he is trying to act. He is trying to act like he just boxed the sixth round of a fight and he's really tired. Those are a little rough. But as for the rest of the movie, Ali puts on a pretty good performance. And I think it was from watching this movie that now I kind of get... When I covered Big George Foreman, I talked about how there was just something a little bit off about the guy who played Ali in that movie. And now that I've watched this movie and I've seen Muhammad Ali do himself, play himself, I think I can, I figured it out. What I, a little bit in my head is that the guy playing Ali in Big George Foreman, he was playing a character. Whereas with Muhammad Ali, obviously being himself, he crafted a persona. I would say, based off of what little knowledge I do have, because I am no expert, folks, but based off of the knowledge that I do have, Muhammad Ali is the first person in combat sports to craft a persona, not a character, not a gimmick, but an actual... He transformed himself into a very specific person and carried himself that way throughout his career. This is different from guys like Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair, who like played a character so much that they could never actually come out of character. Ali crafted a persona, and you do get glimpses of that here still to this day. I think maybe by way of accolades and success, maybe Ali and this person aren't necessarily on par, but by way of sports combat crafting a persona, for my money, the only other person who really comes close is Shel Sonnen. I think Shel Sonnen had crafted a persona that was more than a character. It was more than a gimmick. It was more than Jason Mayhem Miller coming out to the cage with a Jason mask and fake hatchet. Like it's more than Conor McGregor being just so egotistical that we're just enamored by it. Shel Sonnen crafted a persona of who and became a specific person. And I love him for it. I love Shel Sonnen. So I don't know if that's necessarily comparable by way of what they did with their careers, although Shel Sonnen was very successful in the cage. But just, I think that was the big difference of, obviously, Ali is just being himself, whereas this person played a character. And now, obviously, I need to address the movie that came out in between in the middle between these two films, Ali starring Will Smith. I've seen like bits of it on TV before, but I need to sit down now and see how did Will Smith do it? How did Will Smith play Ali? Did he really lean into the character, or did he try to kind of take on the persona that was Muhammad Ali. And I just want to also point out the fact that, yes, it is very strange. I'm doing a movie review to honor his brother, who has a very small role in this movie. So sorry, Muhammad Ali, but this one's for you, man. So as I said, this movie covers basically like the first half of Ali's career, you could say. And whether it's Muhammad Ali himself, the archival footage of the fights, or the guy playing young Cassius Clay, there is not a single scene where Muhammad Ali is not in the movie. He is in every single minute of this film, and I'm not exaggerating. I am pretty sure that from start to finish, there is not a scene without Muhammad Ali somehow in it. That even includes the opening title sequence and the credit scroll at the end of the movie. Ali is like running and shadow boxing through those sequences. Like, from start to finish, this movie is about Muhammad Ali. So again, I just want to compliment his acting for that reason of he's like 98% of this movie is him. And so it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I think I've said before, since I have done other biopics already, that I'm a sucker for based on a true story sports movies. I am of the age that when I was a child, that's when Disney was pumping out, remember, the Titans, Glory Road, Miracle, The Greatest Game Ever Played, The Rookie, like all of these like based on a true story sports films. That was a lot of my childhood, even though I wasn't like athletic. I mean, I did martial arts, but I wasn't like also playing soccer and t-ball and all of that. But I just like, I grew up just like consuming these movies. So still to this day, based on a true story, sports films especially, but based on a true story, movies just always capture my attention. With this, obviously, given the time period, this movie does cover two of the most controversial moments in the life of Muhammad Ali, which I appreciated being able to see from this perspective, through his own eyes, essentially, these two controversial moments in his life. And I am very interested. I know Netflix has at least one documentary. I'm pretty sure HBO Max or whatever the name of that platform is by the time you're listening to this episode. I'm pretty sure they also have a documentary. And I really just want to like consume people's takes and the actual history surrounding these moments in Ali's life. So it's a very... As much as it is like it is a biopic, it's a movie, so it's there to entertain. And as much as it is entertaining, you always have to remember that even if it is through Ali's eyes, it is still entertainment. So there's going to be moments where, you know, not trying to skew things here, but you got to make it dramatic for the screen, right? So I did find it, though, still very informative on the life of Ali. I did not know that Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, grew up... Now, I did know his name was Cassius Clay, okay? I phrased that sentence incorrectly. I did not know that Cassius Clay grew up Baptist, okay? So he grew up Baptist. I did not know that. But one of the big and probably more well-known moments of criticism in his career was converting to Islam and being what was really probably the more controversial thing, being very close with Malcolm X in the Nation of Islam. There's a really great scene early on in the movie when young Cassius Clay is at church with his family and they're all singing a hymn together. And then as it's the camera's just kind of going around showing people singing this hymn, it pauses for an intentionally uncomfortable amount of time on a picture of white Jesus. So it's that very stereotypical Caucasian, blue eyes, brown hair, white robe, blue sash edition, not that burgundy sash. We don't want, no burgundy sash. It is blue. If we're going to do Caucasian Jesus right, it is blue sash, not burgundy. Anyway, so it holds for an uncomfortable amount of time intentionally on this image of white Jesus. Cut to Ali is a little bit older. He's starting to make his, getting ready for his run for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is when he's introduced to Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam, that was challenging this notion that Christianity, or excuse me, was challenging this idea of Christianity being the one true religion for everybody, when it was used as a weapon for colonization, for slavery. It is the white man's religion, as at least in the movie, what James Earl Jones, Malcolm X, was saying, whereas the Nation of Islam and Islam itself was being offered as the religion for all people, especially for black men and women who were feeling oppressed and had been oppressed by Christianity. And there's a great scene of Ali like hearing all this for the first time and then thinking back about that big old white Jesus in his old church and thinking, how did I, and saying something to the effect of, how did I not see this? How did I not catch this? And eventually he does convert to the Nation of Islam, being so closely tied to Malcolm X in the 70s, almost derailed his career. They asked him very, very politely to at least wait to make his announcement of his conversion until after he beats Joe Frazier for the World Heavyweight Championship, the first for his first championship run, and he agrees. I did not know. I read this as I was preparing for this episode. So we all know that he goes from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. Apparently, there was a brief moment in time, though, where he was going by Cassius X. I did not know that until I read it. But this is where the conversion happens. And this was, again, a big, especially his relationship with Malcolm X. I would say at least in the movie, the relationship between him and Malcolm X is more so shown to be the issue versus the conversion itself. And Ali did eventually, in years to come beyond the time frame that this movie covers, does eventually leave the Nation of Islam and starts following a different sect of Islam, but he remained a Muslim throughout the rest of his life. And I just want to say, you know, back in the decade of 2020, not the year, the decade, that's how that year felt, a decade long. That was, for me personally, as a white man, heterosexual, cisgender, the whole bit, at the time, still rather conservative, though that would not last by the end of that year. Christian man, that was the first time that I was really confronted with the concept of, not so much that Jesus wasn't white, that I had already figured out a long time of, I was probably still way too old before I made the connection of, oh yeah, that's what a white dude looks like, not a Jewish man. But that was the first time, 2020, after the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, that was the first time that I was really confronted with the truth that, even though I did not ask for it, there are systems in place that I benefit from that oppress other people. And speaking specifically towards Christian nationalism, white evangelicalism, Jesus being white, I can't believe it is the year of our Lord, 2025, and yet, in the 1970s, people were already challenging this. How are we still working on this? How is it that some people still can't even cross the bridge that Jesus wasn't white? How can we continue to justify and defend a Eurocentric faith when it's very clearly Middle Eastern? Anyway, I'm getting down to my last 10 minutes here already, so I got to get back to the movie. The other big controversy in the life of Muhammad Ali, at least that is covered in this time period, is his draft dodging, which I feel like that is a very the term dodging there is a little dramatic, because when the Vietnam War is going on, right? And by this point, Ali is world heavyweight champion and very outspokenly against the Vietnam War, and also very outspokenly against black men going to fight in the Vietnam War. Again, kind of continuing on from his faith, getting to this point of like, why should we go defend freedoms that we just very recently got and still have difficulty being able to, you know, like take advantage of, right? And so usually when you think about draft dodging with Vietnam, you think of certain people running away to Canada. Like that was one thing that a lot of people did. I'm sure there's other ways to draft dodge, but that is one thing that often comes up, is people like flocking to Canada. Ali claimed that based off of his faith, it was against his religion to go fight in this war, because he did not believe that the Nation of Islam taught that you're not supposed to go kill people, take life kind of thing. And so when it came time for him to be drafted, he still showed up at the recruitment office, I guess is where you go for one of those. I'll find out here eventually where you're supposed to go to get drafted, I'm sure. But he showed up to the office. They called his name. They called Cassius Clay also. I don't know if he hadn't changed his name to Muhammad Ali, like legally by that point yet, or if they were just being sticklers or what. And he didn't. You're supposed to take a step forward, and as soon as you take that step forward, you're officially sworn into whatever branch they're drafting you into. And he didn't take a step forward. And so he was arrested for draft dodging. That is the whole draft dodging for Ali. And I had heard people say before in the past that Ali converted to Islam to get out of going to Vietnam, to get out of going into the Vietnam War. I just want to say, though, I do not know all the ins and outs of drafting, of being drafted to go to war, or the Islamic faith. That seems like a really complicated plan to get out of going to war. Somehow jumping the fence into Canada seems to be way simpler than converting, almost putting your entire career into jeopardy, becoming close friends with somebody who was considered to be a very dangerous human being, and all to get out of going to Vietnam. That seems way too complicated. Again, I don't know all the ins and outs. That's just my quick take. That seems like the most complicated plan to get out of going to war. There has to be easier ways than converting to an entire different religion. Again, somehow making the trek all the way to Canada seems like a way simpler idea than spending almost a decade practicing another faith before you like try to get out of going to war. I don't know. That's just me though. A decade might be too long, but you get the point. Like that just seems like a little bit of a stretch, folks. In the end, as my time is rapidly coming to a close here, it's a very good movie. I'd highly recommend it. I checked it out on, you guessed it, Roku channel. Yeah, I found this one on the Roku channel. I think it is also on Tubi, and it comes up on Amazon Prime as well if you want to go check it out. But it like I said, Ali's performance is very good given the fact that he's just being himself. He's being himself in this movie. And I guess I should say that the draft dodging also, again, just kind of, I forgot about this part. Going back to the fact that converting to Islam is the most complicated plan in history to try and get out of a war, so he probably didn't do it for that reason. He got stripped of the World Heavyweight Championship after being arrested, so he never lost the belt, technically. He was stripped of the title, and then for the longest time, I think it was like 3 years, he couldn't get a fight because he was a criminal, so he couldn't go over the border into another country to go fight, even if it was just up to Canada or down to Mexico. And a lot of people wouldn't just sanction him a fight, period, because of the political messiness baggage that came with his name at that point, even though he was still incredibly popular. So again, it's I would love to learn more about this part, because to me, just looking at it through the lens of this movie, this idea that he converted to Islam to get out of Vietnam just seems like way too complicated of a plan. The good news is, though, not only does he eventually do beat George Foreman to win back the World Heavyweight Championship, he eventually appeals this all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court does rule in his favor because of religious freedom, because of religious liberty. So, good for Ali. But yes, all of that is to say, I watched an entire and reviewed an entire movie about Muhammad Ali to pay tribute to his brother, Rahman Ali. So thank you to you both for being a part of the work, the boxing industry, and inspiring generations, generations of men and women across racial spectrums, of cross gender spectrums, to go into professional fighting, to go into boxing, to pursue their dreams, to be their own person, you know, especially when it comes to Ali, or Muhammad Ali, that is, again, going back to that whole persona thing, to just pursue being themselves. But thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please consider rating and reviewing this show wherever you get your podcasts, and pass this episode along to a friend. You can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza PRT. You can follow this show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd at Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get an early review of the movie before the episode comes out. Check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture, and all the other great shows here on the Inazao Ministries Podcast Network. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.